Thanks for coming, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to our 2019 interim result presentation. My name is Aslan. I am the CEO of DP Eurasia. I have my colleague, Selim. He's the Chief Strategy Officer. Today, we are going to make the presentation for the interim results. We are pleased to report another strong and resilient set of results for the first half of 2019. I would like to little bit speak about highlights. Both Turkey and Russia had a solid top-line growth driven by our stores additions and like-for-like growth, accompanied by increase in EBITDA. Our system sales has increased 27%. Revenues are up 22%, and this has been translated to 15% increase in our EBITDA that brought us to 47 million TL. Turkish operation has successfully increased its like-for-like from 2.5%. As you will remember, we had a slow start to the beginning of the year. Now like-for-like as of half one has come up to 8% in Turkey. In Russia, our like-for-like growth is 5%. On the other hand, I would like to remind you, last three years, our like-for-like in Russia was 30%, and we are competing to FIFA World Cup last year in Russia, which was quite strong. We are still keeping our guidance of high single digits for the year 2019 in Russia. Like-for-like is driven, as you know, with our online delivery sales, and this is growing very strong and healthily. Our online share has increased 8 percentage points compared to last year, which is bringing us to 68%. DP Eurasia achieved solid strong store growth in the period, with 64 stores opening in the last 12 months. That's bringing us the total number to 736 stores. Now our target is to be 200 stores in Russia in a very short period of time, and we want to be 800 stores as a group in DP Eurasia. Innovation is a core of our business. It's the strategic driver of our strong performance. We are continuously innovating in product and innovation. Every time I come here, every six months, I'm talking about new things going on in the company. This period, we are entering with a very exciting innovation. Now I would like to talk a little bit about Dürüm Ost. Dürüm Ost means wrap in Turkish. Wrap is a very big market in Turkey. There are thousands of wrap shops, and we thought that product could be very complementary to our pizza product. We have been testing it in the last three months. We have seen very good results, 15% product mix, extra like-for-like on the tested areas. We have launched the product this week. This week it's in all of our stores in Turkey. We believe it will bring extra sales, especially to the carry-out business, and the price point will be around $1.50, which is very important to launch such kind of products, especially in this difficult macroeconomic situation in Turkey. Also in Turkey, we have started price segmentation in order to manage the price increases more delicately in order not to hurt the customers who are looking for good value. These are some of the reasons why our like-for-like has increased in Turkey. As you will remember, we have launched a GPS tracker in the beginning of the year. Because the inflation is high and the costs are rising in Turkey, and we need to come up with this kind of innovations. That innovation worked very well for us. It increased the labor efficiency. Our orders per delivery has increased, and stores has better delivery times, which is improving our customer experience. In Russia, we are continuously coming with new promotions, new campaigns to grow the market in Russia. One of them is the one that we are going to start this next week, is the mix and match promotion with 180 rubles. This is a very exciting price point, not only for the pizza business, also quick service restaurant business. And I believe with the 180 rubles, you are able to buy small pizzas, different side items. And I think that will drive a lot of sales for our business. Also, we have launched a pineapple pizza, a new dessert pizza, and that was which has been received enthusiastically by our customers in Russia. I already mentioned that in Turkey, our like-for-like is 8% from a lower base in the beginning of the year. And still, like-for-like is driven by our online growth in online channels, which is 24% in Turkey. Our main strategy in Turkey in the last one, in this difficult macroeconomic situation, was to keep as our margins, and we did that. And we are using different methods, like I showed you the new innovations, new price points, new price segmentations in order to increase our average check price and in order to preserve our margin. In Russia, it's 5% compared to high like-for-like in the previous years. And again, driven by the growth in online channel, 17%. And apps are leading the category. Apps are the fastest growing channels in both in Turkey and Russia. Share of online ordering growing healthily. Online delivery system sales as a share of delivery system sales reach 68%, 8 percentage points higher than last year. In Turkey, it grew by to 62%, and in Russia, our online delivery has come up to 79%. In a very short period of time, we are targeting to be 800 stores. In the last 12 months, we have opened 64 stores in Russia and Turkey. 19 of them was opened in Turkey. 45 of them was opened in Russia. We are keeping our guidance of 65 to 90 stores for the year of 2019. We have a strong pipeline of stores for the half two. Now, I think this is one of the important part of my presentation, Russia update. As you know, we are a growth company, and Russia is the important part of our business. But before I start the update, I would like to give a framework where we have been in Russia and where we are now. In the last 3 years, our Russian business has been one of the most successful business in the Domino's world. We have grown the Russian business 8 times in the last 3 years, from 76 million to 465 million TL, despite increasing competition. And we are continuously improving our EBITDA in Russia. Pizza market is growing rapidly in Russia, which is supportive of our business in terms of pizza eating habits. In the last 12 months, we have opened 45 stores in Russia. We are keeping our guidance for Russia. We will open 40 to 60 stores for this year in Russia. And our franchise stores, and in the last 2 years, we have been growing with the franchisees a lot. Our franchise stores now 86. We have 86 stores. Now, right now, 46% of our system in Russia is franchise stores. We see healthy ramp-ups in the region stores, in the stores in the greater Moscow and regions. And these stores, like-for-like, will be in the bucket, like-for-like bucket, next year, in 2020. We are continuously growing and investing in Russia. our second dough production facility opened in Rostov, which is above Moscow, in to serve Voronezh, Rostov, and Krasnodar. That facility will decrease the transportation cost of the regional stores and improve the store economy. It took us 2 to 3 years to develop highly effective strategy for greater Moscow franchisees, and we had been very successful there. Now, unfortunately, we started opening stores in regions. Unfortunately, franchisees' expectations were not managed very well this year in the stores in region. And there were some miscommunications. And we had some communication problems with our franchisees. Therefore, we have decided to change our franchise strategy in the regions for Russia. We will acquire approximately 15 stores from franchisees to cooperate. Our target will be to improve the store economics of these stores in the ramp-up period. And from now on, we will be very careful on growing franchise stores in the region. We will award only one store to the new franchises for the period of 6 months, and we will decide whether to open more stores with them. We have very successful franchises in Greater Moscow. We will incentivize them. We will incentivize our successful franchises to open more stores in the region. We will go on opening some corporate stores in the areas where we are operating in the regions. As I mentioned earlier, we will get much more efficiencies from the supply chain system, and we will have more tailored and focused local store marketing in the regions, and we will invest on more operational overhead. These are the main things that we are going to, and I believe in the very near future, we will see very nice ramp-ups in the regional stores in Moscow. We are also reviewing our aggregator strategy. We are already, our digital share is 79% in Moscow. We believe we are in a healthy point right now, and I think we believe it's the time to start working with aggregators as we are working in Turkey, which will bring us extra like-for-like. We are renewing our beverage agreement, which will be good for our company. So, I mean, to sum up, our Russian business has come to a new level. As the CEO of the company, I'm spending a lot of time in Russia with my team in the field. And we had been, in the beginning, a startup company. Now we are more developed. We are on a certain level. We have franchises and corporate stores. So we are reorganizing our Russian operation for more successful growth in Russia. And as you know, our CEO left a couple of months ago, and our CEO search is still going on, and we are working on it. With this, I would like to pass to Selim for financial results.
Hello, everyone. Let's dive into the financials, where we had another strong half year. But before we do that, I would just like to remind you that as DP Eurasia, we adopted the new accounting standard, IFRS 16, as of January 1st, 2019, applying the modified retrospective method. What that means is that we did not restate results for prior to January 1st, 2019. So our results for the first half of 2018 do not include IFRS 16. Therefore, all financial data that I'm going to talk about right now, like adjusted EBITDA, cash conversion, net debt, etc., are going to be given for the first half of 2019, excluding the impact of IFRS 16, so that you can compare the performance in the first half of 2019 versus the first half of 2018. We had healthy system sales growth at 26%, coming from both like-for-like growth in the same stores as well as the expansion of the estate. We're continuing to run a hybrid store network where we were operating both corporate and franchise stores. This is skewing towards the franchise side. As of June 30th, 68% of our estate is franchise stores. That's an increase of 5 percentage points from 12 months ago, which is normal for a system our size. We've had 64 additions to the estate over the last 12 months. In terms of EBITDA, we grew by 15%, reaching 46 million Turkish lira EBITDA in the first half of 2019. We had a slight margin drop for the overall group number. That was mainly due to, first, the Turkish-Russia mix effect. As you know, Russia is becoming a bigger part of our group as time goes by. And we also had a slight decrease in the Russian margins. Cash conversion has been strong. We are keeping tight controls on CapEx, and with the improvement in EBITDA, we've been able to increase our cash conversion from 17% to 36%. Just a reminder here for our cash conversion definition, it's adjusted EBITDA minus CapEx divided by adjusted EBITDA. Adjusted EBITDA, of course, excluding IFRS 16, as I've previously pointed out. Turkish system sales is up 11%, including Azerbaijan and Georgia. We added 17 stores in Turkey over the last 12 months. It's coming mainly from the franchisee network, and as such, we had a 3 percentage point increase in our franchise mix in Turkey as well. Now, three-quarters of our Turkish stores are franchise stores. Going forward, this is expected to increase further, as we will be adding stores mainly through the franchisee network, but where we see opportunity, we'll not shy away from opening corporate stores either. EBITDA grew by 13% to 41 million Turkish lira. The good news here is that despite the volatility that we've been experiencing in the Turkish macro scene over the past 12 months, we've been not only been able to manage to preserve our margins, but we've improved about 0.2%. percentage points over the last 12 months. Cash conversion is reflective of our emphasis on CapEx. It increased from 43% to 54%, and overall CapEx fell by a couple of million Turkish lira in the first half this year. In Russia, we've experienced solid system sales growth. Sales grew by 63%, which in Turkish lira terms, more than 30% in Russian ruble terms. We had 45 openings year on year. The franchisee development is ongoing. We've reached 86 stores, so almost half the estate in Russia right now is franchised. We expect this to even grow further in the coming years as we develop the system in Russia. Our expectation for this mix is to be similar to what we have currently in Turkey when Russia reaches Turkish store numbers. Russian EBITDA grew by 17% from 7.4 million to 8.6 million Turkish lira. We had a slight margin decrease due to the lower like-for-like growth in Russia. This was mainly due to our years of averaging 30% like-for-likes in Greater Moscow. So the stores are quite developed there. And increased competition in Moscow from a pizza store point of view. Our expectation is still for the Russia margins to converge with those of Turkey's over the medium term. CapEx, again, we have a slight decrease in CapEx in Russia in Turkish lira terms as well, which is reflective of our recent emphasis on opening franchise stores. Recapping the balance sheet, we have a conservative leverage ratio. Cash conversion has increased to 36%. As Russia develops, we expect the overall number to catch up with the Turkey-only numbers with respect to cash flow generation. Our leverage ratio is still at a comfortable and prudent 1.9 times EBITDA. We had some increase in net debt compared to the end of 2018. There were two main reasons for this. One was the Russian ruble appreciated against the Turkish lira. As you know, we have a Russian ruble facility in Russia. So therefore, there was that translation effect that came into effect. And then secondly, from a seasonality point of view, our half-year interim, half-year debt is generally higher in Turkey compared to the end of the year because of the Ramadan effect. As you know, again this year we had the Ramadan, month of Ramadan at the end of the first half. However, you know, looking at our gross bank borrowings, we don't have any more hard currency bank debt exposure. Last year, this time, two-thirds of our bank debts were denominated in euros. Right now, we have completely refinanced that, and currently, two-thirds of our bank debt is denominated in Russian rubles, and the remaining one-third is denominated in Turkish lira. Let's look into the future. Management guidance, we are not changing anything from what we announced at the beginning of the year over the medium term in Turkey. High single digit like-for-like growth. In Russia this year, high single. Next year, we're expecting to go back up to double digits as the regional stores come into the like-for-like bucket as well, as Aslan explained. Store openings, Turkey, 25 to 30 stores, predominantly franchise, opportunistically corporate. Russia, 40 to 60. We expect an even mix between corporate and franchise. The potential we see in our markets is still there. In Turkey, we think we can reach 900 stores for full potential. In Russia, that number is 1,500, so which is a total of 2,400 stores. We are getting closer by the day to our 800 store, but still there is an opportunity to triple, more than triple the store base. Still, we're not revising our CapEx figures either. Turkey is 30 million Turkish lira in CapEx, and Russia, 450 million rubles for this year. With that, I would like to hand it over to Aslan for his conclusion remarks.
Thank you, Selim. Now, as a conclusion, we are happy with the, we are pleased with our half-year 2019 performance. And if you sum up, we have 27% system sales top-line increase, 15% increase in EBITDA. We have opened 64 stores in the last 12 months. Online delivery share come up to 68%, 8 percentage points higher than last year. And we don't have any, no change to business fundamentals, and we expect EBITDA to be in line with the expectations. So thanks for listening to us. And I would like to open the floor for the questions, and then we'll get questions for the telephone.
Wayne Brown from Liberum. Can you just talk about price segmentation? You mentioned it earlier in Turkey. I presume that has something to do with entry prices, products, delivery promotions, and how you're bundling those promotions to highlight to the customer what the value is. But just give us a little bit more flavor of if the price segmentation, how are you approaching that?
I mean, when we started this inflationist environment in Turkey, we knew that by just increasing the exactly the average check price, it will not be, we will not be successful. So we start working with a consultant by the beginning of the year. And what we try to find out, because the customer is very stressed, there is a demand, but there is a demand for good value. So we, with, by making research with our customers, we find the specific price points. And to that specific price point, we come up with new innovations, as I mentioned to you, wrap Durimos. The price is 9.9, which is like $1.5. And we come up with the promotions for that price point. If you will check our internet site, you will see how it is done. That worked very well for us. We started to get market share from the competition. And the other thing was the price segmentation. We analyzed the stores according to the competitive environment, according to the demographics, according to the income levels. And we looked at what was how these stores were affected from the previous price increases. With this, we segmented our stores to the 6 levels. And we also, that that started by, I think, by May, and we see quite good results on that also.
And clearly, it's in that inflation environment, you still managed to get an improvement in EBITDA margins in Turkey. So can you talk to us about how you've been able to deliver this investment that you're talking about in price segmentation, obviously value products, the value impacts on orders, and then also consequently on the supply chain side, what work has been done in leveraging the scale of the business, buying in greater volumes, et cetera, and how that's also helped to deliver the margin flow through?
Yes, I mean, that was partly on the pricing side. On the supply chain side, since we are the biggest buyers in the pizza category, our food inflation, for example, in Turkey is about 20%. Our inflation is around 10%. That was also helped to improve our margins. On the other hand, was the GPS record that I told you. The minimum salary wages increased by 26% in Turkey by, you know, working on with GPS tracker, by focusing on delivery times. We have improved our, we were able to be efficient in the labor side of the business. So overall, helped us to keep our margins in Turkey.
Any opportunity to give us numbers around that? Improvement in out-the-door times or orders per delivery driver, or orders per hour?
It was 1.8 before with the GPS. It comes to one driver per, this is the number of orders drivers taking. Now it comes to 2.02.
Thank you. And then in Russia, how many franchisees are there? Are you clearly going to be buying 15 back? Can you just talk to me about their financial position? Are these 15 distressed ones or ones that are just maybe underperforming?
As I said, I mean, I don't see, because I have been doing this business for a very long time. If you look at the orders and the profitability, it was more or less was according to our expectations. As I mentioned earlier, the expectations and the communication were not there. That was our mistake. So we are going to buy like 4 franchise group, with 15 stores. And I can tell you that 2 out of 4 is in break-even. Stores are in break-even. And 2 of them are losing money. And with the friends from the Domino's International, we have people in the field. I mean, we are analyzing in very detailed the stores to make the ramp-up and to fix the store economics. So these were the most of the, frustrated franchisees. In the greater Moscow side, we don't have any problem with our franchisees. Actually, their like-for-like is higher than our corporate stores, if you break it down. So psychological part of the problem is solved, as far as I'm concerned.
Thanks very much for the presentation. First of all, on the adjusted EBITDA for Russia, I might have missed that, but what was the reason that came down?
It came down, basically, the adjusted EBITDA in Russia.
Yeah, our like-for-like came down in Russia. As a result, that hit our EBITDA margin as well. The reason that the like-for-likes in Russia came down is over the past 4 years we've been constantly averaging 30% like-for-like, so that came down a bit. So there is what, you know, stores get to a certain level and then it's difficult to get those outsized sales growth continuing into perpetuity. That's one reason. Plus, there is also increased competition in Moscow, in Greater Moscow. We lead the market there. We're number one in Greater Moscow, but our two competitors have been also opening stores, which in the medium term, we also see it as a plus, because the silver lining, I guess, is yes, there are now more pizza stores. There are now more Domino's stores serving the same map, but also more pizza stores serving the same map, but our sales are still increasing, albeit at a lower clip, which means that the pizza market is growing.
Okay, so at this point in time, how sensitive is the Russia EBITDA margin to the, like, how many percentage points in same-store sales growth would cause a sort of a similar margin contraction?
Going into the year, late 2018, our guidance for Moscow was low double digits. You know, we missed that by about 5 percentage points, which resulted in this slight contraction.
And out of the stores in Russia, what proportion would be considered to be mature in terms of margins versus other non-profitable stores?
Yeah, I mean, look, we have 187 stores in Russia. About half of those are in the same store basket. And the regions where we're, you know, where we entered recently in 2018, which are showing a good ramp up, are not even included in the same store because they're too young. So they will move into the same store basket starting in 2020. That's going to behoove our overall like-for-like figures as well.
Okay. Is it 2 years?
We do it by vintage, so it doesn't roll during the year. So basically, we're in 2019, so stores that have been opened prior to December 31st, 2017, are in the same store basket. So on average, the youngest ones are on average 18 months old.
Lisa Sharma from Liberum. Have you had to adjust the Russian cost base then because of that lower like-for-likes coming through? Can you, you know, you're talking about sort of the EBITDA margin in time getting to the same level as Turkey when it gets those store numbers. What's going to happen in the more shorter term in the fact that, you know, the like-for-likes haven't come through as strong as you hoped? Can you adjust the cost base?
I think this will have an effect on this year's EBITDA margin. So what we saw in the first half is probably going to reflect to the second half as well. But look, we are still in, you know, we're still growing both from a store point and system sales point of view. We increased the estate, you know, from 140 to 187 over the last 12 months. So that's over 35% store growth, close to 25% store growth. Sales have increased by 60%. So in terms of streamlining, yes, we can take that into effect. But what we more do is use what we have in the headquarters in a more effective way because we're growing aggressively.
Yeah, I would like to also add, we knew that from our experience, regions for the first 2 years, regional growth will be challenging. So when we did the business plan, actually the numbers in the business plan that we put for the regions is not a big gap. There's not a big gap. As I mentioned earlier, it's more the psychology and the mindset of the franchisees.
And then following on from that, actually, on the franchisees, you said it's the sort of the more disenchanted franchisees that you're buying in. I mean, is that because they want to get out or the fact that actually you feel that, you know, you want to understand the store economics better?
Both.
Okay, and then how
we talk, because both when we grew in Moscow and Moscow region, we first opened corporate stores, made it profitable, and then start franchising. We didn't do that in region. So when we evaluate all the situation, instead of losing management time, we thought of buying it back and fixing it and go on franchising with the good franchisees and showing the store economics to the franchisees.
So how long do you think you'll keep those stores before you refranchise them out? How long does that
take? I don't have a time limit. I can still keep these stores as long as they are profitable. And if I find the right price, I might sell them. But the idea is to have a profitable stores. So that either we can open new stores. And if I see strategically there is a need to sell some of these stores, we can sell. But I will not make right now a decision for it.
Sorry, just one last question on Turkey. The first 2 months are obviously quite sluggish. The pair, well, plus 2%, plus 2.5%. The like-for-like in Turkey for the half was 7.7%. So that the math will tell you that for the other 4 months, maybe 10%. But what is the exit run rate that you're seeing and potentially, you know, how should we think about Q3 with the new innovations, et cetera?
Look, you do the math right. When we announced the full years a few months back, first 2 months were at 2.5. We were already seeing encouraging signs in March, where we were up to a high single digits. Getting this average to 8% now, it's obvious that second quarter, April, May, June, were in double-digit territory. So that was the exit from the first half. But look, it's still a volatile, sensitive macro consumer situation in Turkey. So, you know, we're guiding for high single digits, and we're confident that we'll get there. But it's too early to say that things are rosy once again in Turkey from a macro perspective. We're living it and learning it as we go along.
Yes, please.
Hi, could you talk a little about the gross margin, please? The real pressure came in cost of food, non-food and transportation costs. Is there a mix issue in there, and how is that likely to progress going forward?
There is a mix issue. Obviously, our Turkish operations are more profitable from a food point of view, especially because of our big economies of scale. In Russia, we're not at the scale, obviously. Compared to Turkey, we're subscale, so that's some of the reasons in the play in the numbers.
And the marketing costs, they relative consistent percent of sales over the period. Is that likely to go up given the increased competition?
We would expect those to stay roughly at the same level as a percentage of system sales.
Hi. So for the new stores in Russia, are you still targeting the Great Moscow area, or and also before the split was like half-half franchises and corporate stores, how you see that this year, next year?
I can give the answer. After we started to have, we had plans to open more stores in the region, but after we started to have problems with the franchising regions, we stopped growing in the regions. Right now, most of the growth is coming from Greater Moscow, and we are keeping our guidance. We see that we can open 40 to 60 stores by the end of the year. We have a strong pipeline, and by the end of the year, seeing our ramp up, we can start to open some more corporate stores in the region. But the percentages that Selin gave, half corporate, half franchise, we are keeping that guidance also.
And on the food aggregator that we are, when you start working with them, and we require any specific changes in the stores or
no,
how you see that?
Well, we are on the very last stage of our negotiations. We can start any time. There will not be any change in the stores. From our experience, there should be some extra like-for-like coming. We feel quite comfortable on that because 79% of our sales is in digital. And we talked the contract, and we agreed on a contract that will not affect our margins. So I think it's going to be good for the business because last 1 or 2 years, aggregator business has grown rapidly in Russia.
Thank you.
Just a couple of follow-up questions. Could you maybe talk a bit about these franchise communication issues? Was this them expecting to see higher profitability earlier on? And, you know, what is management thinking in terms of communicating better the expectations that other franchisees should see? In order, because this kind of turnover is probably one of the biggest costs, because you have to, you know, buy back the stores, think about resetting them as corporate stores, and it generally just disrupts operations. So can you explain a bit more about that?
I mean, the miscommunication was because at that time our paybacks in Greater Moscow was 1.5 years, 2 years. And we have come to a new territory in Russia. Russia is a very big country. And people thought that the same momentum will go on in the regions, which was not the case. And I think we should be more cautious about this new situation.
I mean, looking at all our volume and things like that, buying them corporate stores, it's not a really big financial problem. It can turn out to be even better because our profitability in corporate stores are much higher than franchise stores. So I don't see that as a big risk. So we should be more careful on preparing the franchise business plan, and we should be on more conservative side. We did not do that. That was our mistake.
And I think Domino's last Friday globally was speaking about the way that they assess their performance is looking at franchise performance and franchise demand. Can you give us a sense of what the, I don't know if you record the backlog or, you know, pent-up demand for franchises in Turkey and Russia, maybe how many people are applying for these, sort of whether this is, you know, going on an upward trend or whether you're sort of seeing the demand for franchisees sort of plateauing
in
Turkey?
Well, the demand for franchising in Turkey is very constant, not changing a lot for the previous from our experience. So this is the performance we have been performing like the last 7-8 years. So I don't foresee any surprises there. Of course, after the problems that happened in Russia, the demand for franchising has went down. But we see that coming back because we don't really demand problem in the greater Moscow because the paybacks are still there. People are making money. And in the region part, probably will grow more corporate stores at this stage, so that the company is growing. So to your question, the short answer in the regional part, yes, there was less demand after the problems were in the media. Okay. Now we can take...
Switch to the phone, I guess.
Yes.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. If you wish to withdraw a question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. That is 01 if you would like to ask a question. And our first question is from Nikolai Kovalev from VTB Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello to everybody. I have a couple of questions also on your franchising schemes, of course for Russia. Can you estimate to us for this acquisition of 15 franchise restaurants, how much capex would you need? And also, given these issues with franchises, would you see any implications on the medium-term rollout, not speaking about this year, which you clarified, but for the next couple of years? And also, more strategic question, as we see in Russia, like Dodo is quite aggressive on the franchise scheme, and they offer more appealing terms to partners. So given your current stance and competition stance, do you see that your terms might be revised downwards in Russia?
Okay. Thanks for the question. For your first question, negotiations are still going on, but the numbers, so I cannot comment on the exact numbers of sales price, but I can tell you that it's not very off from what store development costs. So one store costs around $150,000.
Yes, that's nothing.
So you can make the calculation from there. I have been doing this business for a long time. I mean, these problems, things like this happen from time to time, and you learn from your mistakes. And we are a company that we really learn our mistakes. And at the end of the day, my philosophy on this business, everything starts, franchisees should make money and should be happy. So that's our mission. So we need, as a company, we need to do a better job. Now the franchise, we started with a corporate business. We were more focused on corporate growth. Now we need to be a better company on managing franchise expectations. And I think we have a lot of know-how internationally and locally and from our Turkish business to do that. So I believe we will do that. But the other part, Russian market is very weak. I mean, still, I mean, there is a competition is growing, but still, when you look at the market, it's much more underpenetrated compared to other countries in the world. So my answer to you, yes, I mean, I'm quite confident that we'll be able to deliver the numbers that we made in the business plan. I think there is a huge opportunity in Russia, and I'm very excited about it. Regarding Dodo, I like competition. Competition is good. Dodo has a different business model. We have a different business model. And we believe there is a room for all of us. As Selim said, market is growing very rapidly, and there is a place. And I believe our franchise conditions right now are compatible to Dodo's franchise competitions. If you look at the store economics in Moscow and the fees that they are paying, I don't feel like we have a problem there. So that's how I see it. Right? Does that answer your question?
Just to clarify, so you don't see much of the, and you don't plan to revise your terms in Russia, even in the future, if you would plan to accelerate the rollout through the franchising scheme.
No, I don't.
Okay. And also, I wanted to clarify, maybe we see him later or on the call, out of your like 130 franchising outlets in Russia, how many located in Moscow greater area, and how many are in the regions right now?
I couldn't understand.
Can you repeat,
because,
Nikolai?
I'm
having some difficulty hearing you.
Just like wanted to clarify, out of your franchise base in Russia, at the moment of 130 roughly restaurants, how many are located in Greater Moscow area, and how many are located in Russian regions?
Sure. I mean, we have 187 stores in total in Russia. About 150 of those are in Greater Moscow. We have 86 franchise stores currently. About 26 of those are in the regions, which means 60 are in Greater Moscow, around 60.
Very much helpful. Thank you.
And just as a final reminder, if you do wish to ask a question, that is 01 on your telephone keypad now. And there seem to be no further questions. I will hand the word back to the speakers for any final comments.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to us and coming here. Nice to see you.
This now concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.